Hello, sports fans. This is Ray Holbrook. The gymnasium is filled. There is standing room only. Everyone is on their feet. In the background, the University of Kentucky band sets the theme as they play On U of K. It's the way great moments in Kentucky basketball have begun for many years. The late Claude Sullivan made the games live for thousands more as he followed the fortunes of the Wildcats and their legendary coach, Adolph Rupp, the nation's winningest coach in both number of victories and percentages. For almost four decades, the sports world has watched this amazing record being forged with near perfection by the colorful figure from the bluegrass of Kentucky, known affectionately by hundreds of thousands as the man in the brown suit. Now, live again many of those great moments in Kentucky basketball with the voices of Claude Sullivan, Adolph Rupp, and Kaywood Ledford.
40 seasons ago, Adolph Rupp arrived at the University of Kentucky. In that time, he has fashioned the greatest coaching record in the history of basketball. Coach Rupp, let's reminisce a little bit about some of the great players and the great games and the great teams we've had at Kentucky.
Well, Kaywood, that take a long, long time. Unfortunately, we don't have any records of any of these teams, these early teams, at least as far as they're recorded on tape. The first ones that we have are those of the Fiddling Five. And, of course, we've had some great moments prior to that time. When I think about the time that my boys stood on the podium at Wembley Stadium in London, England, and were champions of the world, when I think about the Fabulous Five, when I think about the two championships they won and then again repeated in 1951. Of course, we have no records of that as far as tapes are concerned.
Coach, let's reminisce a little bit. Do you remember your first game at the University of Kentucky?
Oh, I certainly do. It's just as plain as it can be, and I was scared to death. I came down here, I didn't know a thing about any of these teams that we were playing. And, of course, the schedule was handed to me, the same as they are today. Many of our games are scheduled 4, 5, and 6 years in advance. And so I had nothing to do with these early schedules. And I didn't know anything about the strength of these teams, but I was scared to death. And, of course, even today, I'll be just as nervous when we go out against West Virginia as I was in that first game when we played Georgetown College in 1930.
Coach, we mentioned the Fabulous Five, a team that won two NCAA titles for you in 48 and 49. You came back to capture the conference championship the very next year, 1950. How come you didn't get a shot at the NCAA?
Well, we weren't invited. In those days, the teams were invited to the NCAA tournament by a committee. And although we had a fabulous record, we weren't invited. And we tried our best to get an invitation to this thing and should have been invited. When you've won two consecutive NCAA titles and then aren't invited back to defend that championship, there's something wrong with the committee. But we weren't invited back. Then the following year, with a green team, almost sophomores, we were invited. And, of course, we won it again in 51. I have no hesitancy in saying at all that we would have won in 50 because we had a veteran ball club that year also.
Coach, you've become famous for one thing, and that's a superstition, I suppose it is, the brown suit, the man in the brown suit. Why?
Well, Kaywood, when I was coaching in high school, in those days, of course, if you had two suits, you were very fortunate. The salaries were not too good, and the clothes were not too plentiful. And so I wanted to look real nice in my second year of coaching, so I went out and bought a blue suit. And we went to that game, and we were shellacked. So I said, this blue isn't the kind of suit to wear at a basketball game. So I went back to brown, and I've been wearing brown ever since, and goodness knows I've got a lot of brown suits in my closet.
Your fourth and last NCAA championship, Coach Rupp, must have been very gratifying with a team called, for some reason, the Fiddling Five.
Well, it certainly was, because we weren't expected to go anywhere with that team. I didn't expect to. I think the boys were the only ones that thought they'd go anywhere, and I don't think they were too sure about this thing. We didn't have a lot of support anywhere. And this bunch of kids, they just kept winning. They just fiddled around and fiddled around. And finally, with about 2 or 3 minutes to play, they'd get busy and they'd win a ball game. Just about killed me. I'll tell you, that was a bone-crushing season for me. And finally, we got into the playoffs. We beat Miami in the first game by 20. Then I think we beat the winner of the Notre Dame-Indiana game, which was Notre Dame by a very substantial score, I think something in the 30s. And that qualified us to go to Louisville, where we had a very, very fine crowd backing us. We beat Temple in the first game, and of course, as history has recorded, we beat this great Seattle team with Elgin Baylor at the throttle, and we won that game by a nice margin of victory. And that, of course, shows that a bunch of boys, even if they aren't brilliant, they still can win if they're determined to win.
We want to recall some of that season that carried Kentucky to the greatest prize in college basketball. And, Coach Rupp, I think of a December night, 1957, of that season when you faced Temple for the first time.
Well, as I recall, we played them here in Lexington. We had played Temple, I believe, 2 times prior to that. In years gone by, and we won by 1 point each time, and that year was no exception. We fooled around, tied it up at the end of the regulation game, then tied it around up in the first overtime, second overtime. I believe we had 4 overtimes, as I recall. Maybe it was 3. I don't recall, because it seemed all evening to me. But I think it was 3, after all. 3 overtimes. And, of course, we got into that by a sensational shot with 1 second to go by Vernon Hatton, one of our outstanding young men. I think it was 63 feet that tied the score, and we went into the final overtime, and I said, boys, we fiddled around long enough. Now let's get this thing over with. So we won that game, and I think we won that 1-1, and then we went to Louisville, and I think in the game down there, won that 1-1.
There are now 16 seconds to go. Rogers out, fakes to break, turns and leaves Smith. Now comes to the left side. Comes back out deep with 10 seconds to go. He moves to the left there, 8 seconds to go. Here he makes his move for the shot. Spins to the left and shoots. It is good! It is good, and Temple wins. Adrian Smith gets it with 1 second to go in timeout, Kentucky. Well, it worked, and it didn't work. The ball game ended, tied up 65 all as Guy Rogers missed the last second shot. And now this one he hit, and it is only his 4th field goal of this half. He had 1 shot. It went into the nets with 3 seconds to go, and as soon as it went in, Beck pitched it to Hatton, called timeout. Well, we've got 1 second to go. 1 second. Can Kentucky score? They can only tie, unless they should be fouled, which would be highly improbable with only 1 second to go. Well, it's Temple 71, Kentucky 69. The fans now begin to pour for the exits. They have set through 40 minutes of regulation play, 4 minutes and 59 seconds of overtime play, and they walk out. This could be the most thrilling play of the season, you know. This time, John Krigler will put the ball in play for Kentucky. Ed Beck's under the basket, 1 second to go. Pass to Hatton from 35 feet. It's good! How about that? How about it? Vernon Hatton did it! And it's tied up. Ball game's over. Another overtime coming. Stand by, stand by. And the indications at the moment are that Harry Litwack, the Temple coach, is going to want Brodsky to take that closing shot. 17 seconds to play. Of course, Temple will be looking for a foul on that shot, too, if I could wrap it up. Here's Brodsky into the right corner. A quick shot's no good. Johnny Cox gets the rebound. Bounce pass out to Hatton. He holds on. Hooks a high pass to Ed Beck, who's in for a gimme crip and missed it. Ed Beck missed the shot, and it's out of bounds. Ball game's over. The ball game is over. It is all over. Final score, Kentucky 85, Temple 83, and certainly one of the greatest, most thrilling games ever played in Memorial Coliseum. Out on the floor, they're carrying Ed Beck and Vernon Hatton to the bench. John Krigler greets them. Adolph Rupp is heading down here to talk with Harry Litwack And if you ever saw two fellas that looked like the building fell in, these two guys are it. We know that Coach Adolph Rupp regards this guy, Lickwack from Temple, as one of the fine coaches in the nation. And by golly, they put on a show like you would certainly expect. 85-83 as Kentucky beats Temple in three overtime periods.
Well, Kaywood, that's the kind of a season that we had. We just kept winning by one, and of course, you talk about excitement. The people that year really got their money's worth by attending these games. They'd watch us fool around and finally win by one. But I think the game that really clinched our conference championship was, again, a one-point victory in an overtime against the University of Alabama.
Adrian Smith out of bounds, passes to Vernon Hatton in backcourt. Hatton moves over the center stripe, and the clock ticks away. 17, 16, 15, as Hatton just stands tom-tomming the ball. Gives it over to Adrian Smith, moving slowly to the right, passing to Krigler, back to Smith. 8 seconds to go. Let's see who takes the shot. Will it be Hatton? Here it is to Krigler. Krigler from 25 feet shoots good. 2-1, ball game's over. And Krigler took it and got it. How about that? John Krigler in an overtime gives Kentucky a victory over Alabama. And ladies and gentlemen, Kentucky will be in the Southeastern Conference representative to the NCAA tournament. Krigler's being carried off the floor by his teammates.
Coach Rupp, the team seemed to really gel, the Fiddlin' Five, when it got NCAA time. And I remember they defeated handily a very strong Notre Dame team here in Lexington.
Well, that's right. We beat, I believe, a Miami team in the opening round by 20. And everybody said this is as far as that team's going. And I wasn't too sure about it myself. But we changed the strategy just before we took the floor that night. And I think that is the thing that won the game for us. We stopped some very talented youngsters that Notre Dame had that year. And I think we won that game even by more points than we beat the University of Miami. And that is the thing that I think gave our boys confidence, gave our fans confidence, and gave the coaching staff confidence that we might go all the way.
So for the third time, Kentucky has a 31-point lead. It's 87-56. Up in the front court, Gleason breaks to the left and walks with it, and Kentucky gets it 10 seconds to go. Gleason finally gives it to Ross, who whips to Atkins. 6 seconds to go to Smith, drives under, gives to Collinsworth. He lays it in. Collinsworth gets his first field goal. The ball game is over. And the final score is Kentucky 89, Notre Dame 56. Bernie Shively moves quickly to the center of the floor as Johnny Jordan, the coach of Notre Dame, moves off, gets a handshake, first of all, from Vernon Hatton, then meets Adolph Rupp.
An 89-56 victory over Notre Dame in Kentucky had won the Mideast Regional. And then it was spacious Freedom Hall in Louisville, where the Wildcats the first night had to take on a team that had given them all kinds of fits earlier in the season, the Temple Owls. Coach Rupp, you and Harry Litwack had quite a pair of games that season.
We certainly did, and I'll never forget that game. I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, that with just 26 seconds to go, I believe we were 1 point behind. Is that correct?
I can't remember.
I think we were 1 point behind, and we called timeout, and everybody said, well, they'll go for that last basket. I don't believe in that last basket. We were only shooting 33% that year, and when you only make one out of three, you don't go for one last basket with that kind of percentage against you. So I told the boys, I said, and the boys picked the play. I didn't pick it. I got the credit for it, but the boys picked the play. And it was a back screen that Beck set for Hatton, and Hatton dribbled all the way in, and with 12 seconds to go, we got our basket. Everybody said, well, Rupp got his basket too soon. Well, you don't get them too soon when I'm coaching. The sooner you get them, the better I like it. And they called timeout, and sure enough, we thought that they'd go to the double screen that would free this boy Rogers. But that wasn't the case. Rogers brought the ball down the floor. And instead of Rogers getting the shot, he gave the ball to Kennedy, who was equally a good shot. And he got it too high and threw it over Kennedy's head and went out of bounds. And, of course, before we retrieved the ball, the 12 seconds were over, and we won that one by one.
Odie Smith out of bounds. Hatton in backcourt gets the pass, and here we go. 22 seconds as the clock moves. Hatton breaks to the right, goes for the basket, hooks it back and in. Vernon Hatton gets the field goal, his fifth of the game. Temple has got timeout with 12 seconds to go. Vernon Hatton took the ball, went down the right side to the baseline, broke for the basket, went under, hooked it back and in. And it's all in favor of Kentucky at the moment. 12 seconds to go. It is 61-60. Kentucky leading Temple on Vernon Hatton's fifth field goal of the ball game. Now, this timeout by Temple is the third one for each team, and the Owls are faced with about the same situation. 12 seconds to go. They can get away a shot. Well, Rogers has been awfully tough on this outside shooting. Could it be Guy Rogers that Temple will decide to take the shot on? That time, Coach Adolph Rupp's strategy was to clear the entire right side of the floor to let Hatton have plenty of room to operate. And Hatton took it right down the right side. 61-60, Kentucky leads Temple. 12 seconds to go. Temple's ball and stand by. Bill Kennedy's out of bounds. Rogers stands right on the 10-second line, dances into backcourt. He gives off to Kennedy, over to Brodsky, back to Kennedy. He dumped the ball out of bounds. 6 seconds to go. Kentucky has the ball. The pass into Hatton. 3, 4, 1, ball game's over.